Any team that's tested AI tools for data has seen the pattern already. AI gives a different number than your BI tool. Metrics don't match across teams. And inevitably, users lose trust. It turns out, turning on AI is easy, but making it work on data is not. Hex AI was built to solve this. The key is nailing context. Hex is built to unify and curate your data context for agents. Data teams can observe, govern, and continuously improve every AI answer, so answers get smarter the more your team asks. The result? Your entire organization asks data questions in natural language and trusts the answers. Not because the AI got lucky, because it knows your business and its data. Because that's what an AI analytics platform should do. Join data teams from Cursor, Lovable, Ramp, AWS, and over 2,000 more at hex.ai.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome back, everyone, to Vox Markets. My name is Paul Hill, and I'm delighted again to be able to speak to CEO Sunny Chahal and CFO Suzanne Smith of Supreme, a leading FMCG products company across drinks and wellness, vaping, electricals, and households. So big welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
Yeah, well, big congrats too on the positive and in line FY 2026 results this morning, with record sales increasing 17% to £270 million. So maybe we can start there, Sandy. I don't suppose you could just quickly walk us through what's been driving that strong top line growth.
Yeah, I mean, it's a combination of some of the acquisitions we made this year, some of the acquisitions we made last year. We had a vaping ban. Actually, the transition in pods was far better than we expected, and there was a substantial growth in that as well. So it's a combination of a few things, really. So yeah, no, we're really happy with those revenue numbers. Thank you.
Yeah, and what's the sort of the demand like at the coalface at the moment with the consumers, particularly in the sort of the areas that you've put a lot of investment in, to the drink side and the wellness side, where you've bought businesses and also launched new products?
Yeah, you know, overall, we are at the bottom end of the price matrix, and it seems to be really strong. We don't see any consumer slowdown in the areas we're in. Our revenues are still really solid. I guess it's that we're the last to be effective if there is a recession. So yeah, no, we're quite pleased the way the sales are going right now.
Yeah. And just in terms of sort of the distribution to some of the retailers, I mean, there has been talk about TJ Jones in the restructuring. Is that sort of like, you know, not really an issue? It's that volume is now moving to other retailers like Tesco's and Sainsbury's.
Yeah, I think, is that the old WH Smith? No, I mean, we had some exposure there. I don't think we supplied them since they rebranded. So yeah, no, we've not. Our products are very. Can you explain? If 88 Vape is out of stock in one flavor in one retailer, people will move to another retailer to buy that flavor. Yeah, and it's the same across a lot of our portfolio. You know, we do get, you know, seasonal things. The weather's been incredibly hot in June. Obviously, our tea sales are going to be slow. However, our soft drink sales are flying through the roof. We can't make enough of them. So, you know, we have a really good hedging in our company across all different areas, summer, winter, seasonality-wise. It's really well hedged.
Good. Okay, well, let's move on to the financials. I suppose you could just quickly take us through the key numbers there, could you, Suzanne?
Yeah. A record year this year, as we'd said, as you said, revenue up 17%, so growing £40 million year on year. That revenue split is roughly two-thirds coming from businesses we acquired this year and the full year impact of the businesses we bought the year before, and a third of the growth coming from our core business, so organic growth. The standout performance in that organic sector is almost certainly vaping, as Sandy said. We've had £20 million of growth in our vaping category. And that's against the backdrop of a huge year of transition, not forgetting that at the start of that financial year, disposable vapes were banned, and we were tasked with transitioning all of our retailers and their consumers onto a rechargeable alternative. So that performance, that £20 million of growth year on year, is really testament to the Supreme platform, the trust that our retail partners put in us to take them through that transition. And in fact, we transition all key stockists, I'd say seamlessly. That there's no stock write-offs in these results that you'll see, and that's really as a result of how meticulous the stock and the handover. And the whole process was managed. So that was definitely a standout element for the business. And then looking back at the brands we'd acquired, I said 2/3 of the growth has come from this year's acquisitions. So you'll recall that is SlimFast and 1001, both of which have been immediately earnings enhancing for the group, contributing 9 million and 2 million respectively in revenue in the short period that they were part of the group. We only acquired SlimFast at the end of October last year, so less than half the year. And then also the previous year's acquisition, so Clearly Drinks, they reported revenue of £26 million this year. Now that's a record for them, even comparing them to their pre-Supreme days, that is the most revenue and the most volume they have ever manufactured and generated in one financial year. And Typhoo also performed really well, operationally as well as financially. We started work in our own in-house tea manufacturing facility. You'll recall that when we bought the brand out of administration, they had in years previous outsourced their manufacturing to a third party, and we've brought all that back in-house. So a strong financial performance, but also from a kind of vertical integration perspective. EBITDA year on year is very comparable. We've bought a lot of businesses in the last few years, and so a lot of that overhead increase year on year is as a result of us investing and carrying the acquired businesses. Actually, our increase in our overhead base in our core business is negligible. We've seen higher amounts of depreciation amortization, and that's really what's driven a lower PBT year on year and a lower EPS. We have now a bigger balance sheet, more manufacturing assets, more intangible assets as a result of the brands we've acquired, and that alone is what's driven a lower PBT. Operating profit, cash profit, EBITDA is all stronger this year than it has been previously. So really happy with a good set of results. The last thing to call out really is cash. We've been very busy this year buying businesses, and we've also invested heavily in our operating and manufacturing sites this year as well. And despite all of that, we have still managed to end the year debt-free once again. So all of the investment coming from the cash that we've generated within the business.
Yeah, no, you've certainly done pretty well in a turbulent time. Just in terms of the margins, the gross margin, I did see that sort of tick down, and also the if you strip out obviously the higher depreciation and amortization you talked about, if you then put it in the context that if your acquisitions were earnings accretive, could you just take us through why the EBITDA was flat?
That's fine. I talked earlier about the transition from disposable vapes into their rechargeable alternatives, pods largely. The margin profile on pods is not as high as it was for us on their disposable kind of counterparts. And that because of the sheer volume of them, they have a real impact on our overall blended margin. The point to note there is that when disposables first came out 3 years previous, their margin started very low, and we really grew into those margins. We just got more accomplished at shipping. We negotiated better our buying prices, and all of that kind of fed through the supply chain. We would expect to see a similar profile on pods. This really has been our year of transition, and we're really settling into that product base. So that's been the core driver of kind of blended gross margin falling year on year.
Right. Okay, great. Brilliant. Well, Suzanne, Sandy mentioned about the platform. I don't suppose you could just take us through how that's going to develop going forward, whether it's going to be putting new products through, whether it's going to be expanding abroad, maybe, sort of like more manufacturing. How do you see that platform, the vertical integration platform, sort of developing?
Yeah, I mean, probably the same as it has been historically. I mean, we bought two licenses on board, Lamborghini, Carabao. We've opened a Hong Kong office and got over 2,000 outlets, or 1,500 to 2,000 outlets in Hong Kong now, selling a range of SlimFast, Tatina Lamborghini, and Juicy Protein and Cymex. So we're doing well in branching out in other areas. I guess it's more of the same. Well, it's not broken, so we're not trying to fix anything. We're just trying to, with time, add things and increment and make incremental sales and profits from adding things into our platform.
Okay, in terms of M&A as well, I mean, obviously you've been very busy and opportunistic. I mean, you've picked up some iconic brands along the way over the last 2 years. Are they now fully integrated, or is there still some work to be done there?
No, I mean they're only fully integrated. There's some work to be done on the manufacturing side, which will happen in the next 6 months. But overall, they're in a good place of integration. Sorry, what was the other question? Sorry, Paul.
Yeah, just in terms of the acquisition strategy, I mean, you've
Okay.
increased your cash balance, and you still previously you did a few acquisitions, but you're very cash generative, and so that
Yeah.
obviously gives you optionality.
No, it does. I mean, we are always open for acquisitions. There is a vape tax coming, and there's a potential for vaping companies to be available. We've also got transition into, the SlimFast being manufactured by us. We've got a few new licenses on board. So we have got, even though there may not be acquisitions, we've got a new sort of business that's come to us already sort of ready made. We always are looking out for acquisitions, and obviously, if something does come along, then we would be looking to acquire it.
Brilliant. Okay, well, let's just go to the next 12 months, Suzanne. I don't suppose you could just quickly walk us through the outlook of the for the business. What sort of like the what investors should expect?
A couple of things. So, as Stanley mentioned, the vape tax is on its way. So that is something that we are currently making plans for across our business, whether that's manufacturing adaptations or revisiting our commercials and our overall product proposition. It's also going to potentially impact us in terms of M&A and opportunities to acquire other businesses in that sector. So that is definitely kind of centric to certainly our medium term strategy right now, and understanding how our business must adapt as a result. As you said earlier, we have been busy acquiring brands over the last couple of years. The initial integration phase is over. Those businesses are seamlessly and carefully being integrated into our business. We are now the next phase of that is now making plans to invest internally into our manufacturing so that we can accommodate those businesses and those brands. You've known our business a while, you know that vertical integration has been key to our kind of profitability trajectory, and that's kind of a proven model that we've done time again. And that's something that we're currently doing now with SlimFast, and as a result, we have just opened our brand new protein and wellness manufacturing site. So there's a lot of focus over there. So it feels like there is a more inward look at our business currently, whether that's integrating brands, investing in machinery, gearing up for the tax. But as Sandy said, we're always open for business when it comes to M&A. It definitely feels like diversifying has been a positive step for Supreme, and that's something that we expect to continue to do. Otherwise, just more of the same.
Yeah, well, you certainly cope in a very difficult environment, that's for sure. More than that, you sort of beat the competition significantly. And then just final closing words there, Sandy. What really sort of psyches you for the further the outlook for shareholders?
Yeah, I guess the businesses, if you look at historically how it's done and how we've done over the last 5 years since IPO, I just hopefully I see a vision for the same growth going forward.
Brilliant. Okay, well done, guys, and hopefully speak to you sometime going forward. So, well done.
Thank
Thank
you. Thanks,
you.
Paul. Bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
It's 10:01 a.m. on a Monday, all at once. Your sales leader needs to know which deals are at risk. Your PM wants feature adoption by cohort, and your CFO needs one last graph for the board. Now your data team has to say no to somebody. Hex changes that. Ask any data question in plain English and get an analyst-grade response, all backed by your actual business context as defined by your data team. Start saying yes to more data questions at hex.ai.